Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Lovecast on the Wedding Podcast Network. I'm your host, Robert Allen, and we are glad to be back with the Lovecast show, one of our most popular shows on the network. Joining me on the Lovecast is Kathy Freston, the author of The One, Discovering the Secrets of Soulmate Love. Kathy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Great to be here, Robert. Thanks for having me.
Kathy, one of our favorite subjects here at Wedding Podcast Network is love, and you've written a really wonderful book about that, about love, about finding your soulmate, about finding your other half. But before we get into the book and some of the information that you've got to share, why don't you give our listeners a little sense of your background and your inspiration for writing this this really terrific book?
Sure. Well, you know, I had been in a terrible relationship for a long time. And I remember thinking, my gosh, if I don't do something differently, then I don't know what my life is going to look like, but it ain't going to be good. So I think sometimes that pain is the mother of transformation. And I had gone through enough pain that I was willing to work on myself in such a way that I would actually shift my energy, that I would not keep attracting into my life the same experiences over and over again. So I took on sort of a process that I found as I went along. I did a lot of meditating and studying and affirmations and visualizations and awareness work, and I found myself moving through my situation in such a way that felt miraculous. I really got unstuck from a very negative relationship. My whole life opened up in different ways. I started making money, and I started getting healthier. And so I just kind of realized that this is a universal theme that people get stuck in their lives. They want something different, but they don't know how to get there. And the most common area I find or I have seen that this manifests in is in the love relationship. And, you know, if you talk to just about anybody, you know, everybody's had that one killer relationship. And I look back on it now and I thank God that it happened, because it really taught me to look at things in a deeper way and change the things that I needed to address. So anyway, I had gone through this process, and then I think a lot of people started recognizing how many changes I'd gone through, and so I started making tapes for people so that they could use them and borrow them. And then that was so successful that I went into the studio and I recorded these CDs professionally. And one of the CDs was about how to attract into your life a relationship, finding the right relationship. And then I started counseling people professionally. And then I thought, you know what? A book needs to be written about this, because it, you know, the steps I think need to be laid out. So that's how I got into it, just basically finding my own way through my own situation. And I think we're all on some level very much, we have the same struggles. So I felt like what helped me would be able to help other people.
Talk about the health of a relationship. And, you know, I agree, it's extremely important. But now when you think about it, what, you know, what comes first? Do you kind of have to get your life together before you find the right person? Or does the right person, you know, help you in actually getting better? What comes first?
Well, if you wait till you've got everything together, then it might never happen, because we are a work in progress, for sure. So there's not like a cutoff line where you can say, well, once I get this in order, once I get this taken care of, because we're like an onion, you know, we peel off different layers, and we're, you know, it's an evolution. We get better, we get more refined, we evolve more, we become more enlightened. So it's not really that we have to get ourselves together in order to attract someone into our lives. But that's a very good question, because I think a lot of people may think that. But what it is instead is that you work on your energy. You work on your stuff. And the more you operate in a pure way, in an integral way, you draw to you more of a match of that energy.
It really goes hand in hand. Now, you know, you talk about in the book, you talk about soulmates and soulmate love. What is that? How do you define that kind of love?
Well, a soulmate is someone to whom we are irresistibly attracted, and they draw us into our life's lessons. They are sort of a catalyst for our growth. As much as we'd like to believe there's this one perfect person out there that will, you know, suit all of our needs and address all of our fantasies and hopes of what love should be, it's never quite the way we think it should be. It, you know, a soulmate, just by being who they are, they bring out what we need to work on in order to evolve. They are sometimes a wonderful partner with whom everything just clicks. And at the same time, it can be someone who brings you to your knees and makes you nuts, who just drives you crazy, you know. So it's not necessarily that a soulmate is someone that you will end up marrying. But a soulmate can be someone who's temporarily in your life, too, because they just connect to you on this very deep level, and you just feel that something big is going on.
It just seems that our love relationships are always kind of in this state of change and evolution. You know, they're very fluid. And I wonder, you know, how much our love relationships are affected by other people that surround us, other people that are in our lives.
Absolutely. And you know, I say in my book, The One, that even if you're not in a marriage or in a dating relationship, this work still applies to you, because we're in relationship with people all the time, whether it's, you know, your family, your sister, your friend, the storekeeper, whoever it is. You're always able to check yourself and say, what was my intention in talking that way? What am I trying to achieve here? How can I, you know, sort of raise myself to a higher level in this interaction? So we can do this work, whether at home with our love relationship, or we can start it sort of, you know, in the world at large.
Now, why do we need marriage? Why do people get married? You know, isn't it enough to, you know, just have this relationship? Why do we find, as human beings, why do we need to take it to that next level?
I think it absolutely brings it to a different level, because it is a commitment that holds you, that binds you to each other, so that when the going gets rough, and it will get rough, that's inevitable, because life sort of shakes us up in different ways and forces us to grow, that we have this commitment that holds us together, so it's not so easy to say, you know what, I'm out of here, I'm not dealing with this, because that doesn't hold our feet to the fire, you know. Sometimes we just need to push through the difficult times so that we get the illumination that our soul is looking for, you know. Our soul is always craving deepening, awareness, growth, interconnection. And so it's too easy, I think, to be in a relationship, a long-term relationship, without that marriage commitment. I think a marriage commitment really holds us together and keeps us sort of at it with each other.
You know, I think there's a distinct difference between being married and being in a marriage. And, you know, I know there are lots of couples that go through their life just being married to one another, but never really being in a marriage, never really being in that partnership. What are the things that make that bond strong, that turn just being married into having a marriage?
Well, it takes at least one person. And, you know, usually I wish I could say that both people would work on it at the same time, and that's wonderful when it does happen. But it's okay if only one of the two partners is really working on deepening the relationship, because when one of us shifts, the other one naturally shifts along with us, because it's a dance. We're in movement. So if I am working on myself to become more in touch with, you know, my truth, my integrity, my authenticity. I'm bringing creativity to the table. Then my partner, whether he's trying to do this stuff or not, is going to sort of almost be given permission to go to deeper levels also, whether he knows it or not. And he's also going to be, there's going to be sort of an energetic shift that he'll respond to. And either he'll keep up with me, or he will not be interested and he'll fade away. So for the most part, I think if we were so strongly drawn to someone that we marry them, I think that when one of us, you know, starts a growing period, the other one goes with us.
Now, for most relationships, in terms of the person that kind of drives this or brings it deeper, is it the man or the woman in most relationships?
It often is the woman, just because women are more sort of, you know, emotional creatures. But it's also the man. I mean, women can sort of get caught up with the kids and, you know, sort of put the marriage on the back burner, and the husbands can, you know, really kick in and say, you know what, I want to feel that passion again. I want to feel that connection again. So it bounces back and forth, but insofar as looking into the emotional stuff, women do tend to be more comfortable about it. That's true.
Now, I know in my relationship, I try and be the best partner I possibly can, and, you know, and strive to be that ideal husband, that ideal soulmate. Is that really attainable? Can someone, you know, reach that pinnacle of being, you know, the ideal, the perfect mate? Does it exist?
Well, you know, just, I don't know if you've ever gone on a hike up in the, you know, Colorado mountains or something, but it's like you'll go around this corner and you'll say, oh, great, the peak is just right around the corner. I'm almost there. Can't wait. Here's another little spurt of energy. I can't wait to get there. And you get to that place that you thought was the pinnacle, and then the path unfolds and you see there's this other level to go to. So I don't think that there's ever some point where it's like, ah, okay, everything is done. I'm satisfying everything. My partner's satisfying everything in me. I call that relationship idolatry. And that means we idolize, we make the relationship our God. And that puts too much pressure on the relationship. It puts too much pressure on our partner, because they can't fulfill all of our needs, because our needs sometimes are unknown even to us. They can't possibly be known to our partner. So it's really up to us as individuals to work on ourselves, to get to know ourselves better, to learn to communicate better, to, you know, keep up with our creative work. And then that makes a more interesting marriage. It takes two solid individuals who commit to interconnecting to make a really solid marriage.
You know, I think also as we reach certain milestones in our lives, whether it be when we become parents or when we become grandparents, you know, I think those life stage changes really can affect our relationship and how we move forward with that. And there's really no way prior to being in that situation that you could ever really know or understand how it affects your relationship, but it certainly does. And I don't know if couples are necessarily, you know, always prepared for that.
Exactly. Kids change the relationship. Age changes the relationship. Success changes the relationship. All kinds of stuff. And I think the universe has a way of throwing in the curveball just when things get comfortable. Anyway, like you're going at a certain level and it's like, wow, everything's great. Got it all in place. And then boom. And I think, again, as much as sometimes we wouldn't choose something, on hindsight, we can look back and say, wow, that was really good for the marriage. That was really good for our relationship, because it brought us closer together. It was really hard, or it was really challenging, or it's not something I necessarily, you know, say your partner gets a job in a city that you know, have to leave behind some friends and or family or something. And it seems like, oh, this is a really difficult challenge and I don't want to do it. But in the end, you look back and you say, wow, I'm really glad that happened. So yeah, you never really know. Life has a way of just throwing things in to the mix to shake things up. Yeah. You know, there are a lot of men who actually are resistant to having kids, and they think, oh my gosh, I don't want to have a child, but my wife wants to have a child. And And you see these guys after they've had kids and they're just love-struck puppies. I mean, they're completely bowled over by it. So, you know, again, we don't know the things that are going to really illuminate our lives. And the trick is just to stay present to whatever happens, because if you stay aware and open and present, and you say, okay, this is arising, this is what's going on, you keep your heart open to it, you'll be led, you know, by your own instincts and how to respond in a way that, you know, is evolved and good for the relationship.
Kathy, how do you think our family lineage, you know, where we came from, the type of household we grew up in, the type of family we grew up in, how much of that affects who we are and how our relationships turn out?
I think it affects a lot of what our relationships look like, because sometimes that unfinished business of our parents and their parents and their parents gets passed down through the lineage. It's almost as if messages get transferred into our DNA, you know, that, oh, you know, marriage means struggle for some people. So you might be attracted to a mate that you will have a marriage that struggles or is difficult. So our task as aware human beings in our age right now is to not let that stuff slide that maybe our parents let slide. You know, if your mother was with a cheater and maybe you're attracted to cheaters, for instance, rather than letting, you know, happen what happened to your mother, maybe she just sort of lived with it her whole life and just shut down, not to allow ourselves to shut down, to sort of open our hearts, feel what we need to feel, and act in ways that are different and unique than what happened in our parents' and their parents' lives. That's on the challenging side. And on the good side of it is, you know, if you grew up in a family that was very affectionate and very loving and very expressive and communicative, you will probably also be in a marriage that has that sort of joy and openness, because it's natural to you. We pick up cues and messages from our childhood, and then we sort of follow suit. But there's always something that's trying to be evolved. It's like the soul is trying to be evolved. You know, the soul is trying to refine itself through the different generations. And if you looked back probably, you know, 10 generations back, I guarantee you, you'd be more evolved, more aware than your ancestors were. And maybe a little bit of their spirit through their DNA was passed down to us, and we get to finish what maybe they couldn't quite finish in their lives.
Yeah, you know, and it's really interesting, because, you know, for all of the important things, you know, in life, when it comes to, you know, to love and learning to love, you know, there are no, you know, textbooks for that. You know, you know, you go to school, you sit down with a textbook, but, you know, in the lessons in life, you have to look at your family history, at your parents, your grandparents, and try and learn, you know, from them. And especially as guys, you know, we don't think about this whole relationship stuff until it's thrust upon us. But, you know, it's really something that, you know, you have to kind of, you know, through observation, through your own life experiences, learn how to do these things and how to incorporate, you know, these types of things, you know, love and relationships and how to raise children into your life.
Absolutely. Which again speaks to the perfect, the soulmate. That person who you're drawn to and who's drawn to you is the perfect person who is poised to deliver you to your growth and your evolution. It's an amazing thing. You may not even see it when you meet them or date or get married, but it's like when you're with them, you find yourself rising to higher levels, getting to a more evolved state of mind, evolved state of being, and it's, you probably couldn't have gotten there had you not been with this person. It's an amazing process. It's as if the soul just magnetizes to us the perfect person. And that's what a soulmate is.
Yeah, you're so right. And you know, I have to ask you, though, you know, you said, you know, you work with couples and counsel and all of that. You know, can these things be taught? Can you teach people to be able to make their relationships more fulfilling and more deeper and increase that level of love? Is that possible?
Well, I have something that I call the 10 rules to live and love by. And I think they're pretty basic. And if you kind of go through them and keep them sort of in your mind, maybe post them up somewhere, you live within those guidelines, and you're always going to have a good, strong, healthy relationship. If you want, I can go through them with you.
I would love that, and so would our listeners.
Okay. So the first one is to see your partner through the lens of love rather than fear. And this is just a matter of perceiving, assuming the good rather than the bad. You know, so often we feel indignant or incensed, but on closer inspection we'll find that we're really afraid. So if we can shift, our fear and see them through the eyes of love, it makes a really big difference. And then the second one is be willing to forgive yourself and your partner and make amends where necessary. Now, forgiveness is a huge thing, because when we hold on to a grudge or resentment, we're the ones who suffer. You know, it's much better if you can just go ahead and work out, just say, this is what really hurt me, and I want to let it go, but in order to let it go, I have to, really say this, or we have to talk about it. Or if I did something wrong, I really want to be a more integral person, so I want to tell you about this, and it's hard to tell you without, and it's hard to say I'm sorry, but I want to move forward from this stuff. So really be willing to forgive yourself and your partner. And then the third rule is to relax when times get tough and assume that this too shall pass. You know, our relationships will go through lots of different cycles, and we are moody by nature. You know, people have moods. We are affected by our jobs, by our health, by, our environment, all kinds of stuff. And so if we stop trying to sort of catch at every little thing and grab onto every little thing and just beat it to death, of course we have to communicate, but just to assume, okay, well, this might be a difficult time. I'm still committed. I'm just going to sort of try to be flexible and move with it. That makes a huge difference in a marriage or a relationship. And then the fourth rule is to see in the dynamic of the relationship the reflection of what you need to learn. So say you are really irritated by your partner's, let's say, grumpiness, and you just can't stand how grumpy they are. I always think that the thing that catches us is the very thing that we disown in ourselves. So if I'm really bothered by my partner's grumpiness, I would say, okay, Kathy, what in you doesn't own your own grumpiness? And my first reaction would be, but no, I'm a happy person. I'm a cheerful person. I never grumpy. But if I drill down and I'm really honest with myself, usually I'll find that the very thing that bothers me about my partner is the very thing that I need to address in myself. So that's something that, it's called shadow work also. There's all kinds of wonderful books out there on that. And then the fifth thing to live and love by is that when you don't know how to handle a problem, pray and meditate and surrender the decisions to spirit. I'm really, really strong on surrendering, because I don't believe that we can always have the answers. Sometimes it's our ego chattering away that life should be this way or our partner should be that way. And, we get all caught up in the details. And sometimes we just need to let go. And, as they say in the 12 steps, let go and let God. So I think that if you meditate, you just get still, you just let things go, you try to let your mind go a little bit blank, or you pray to your higher power, God, whatever you want to call it, things have a way of working out better than if your hands are all over it trying to fix it. There might be some better way of things unfolding than you could possibly foresee. So I'm just going to surrender it. I'm going to put my best intention out there that this, the relationship works in a way that's good for everybody involved, and I'm going to back off of the details. I'm just going to worry about myself and try to really keep myself straight. And then the sixth rule is to honor your partner's path and allow them the space to find their own way. So this really means, you know, we are, as much as we're a partnership, we are also two individuals that have two very individual soul paths. And sometimes, you know, my partner is going to be growing in ways that I can't keep up with, and sometimes it's vice versa. And his program is going to be different from my program because we grew up differently. We have all kinds of different circuitry in our brains, and we just have to assume that they are on their path and it's not our place to control them. So that's hard because sometimes we want to get in there and say, well, this worked for me, so I really think you should do it, you know, but just to honor their path. And then the seventh thing, which is I think is really important, is to keep up your own personal growth work. The more you continue to look at yourself, you know, try to remove the blocks that hold love back and try to, you know, work on your own integrity, you work on your personal growth work, and again, the relationship will respond. You get higher in the way you, you know, vibrate your energy, and that brings up the whole energy of the relationship. And then the eighth rule is to follow the path of your own creativity, which means you don't just make the relationship your end-all, be-all of everything. You follow your heart, paint, sing, build houses, keep up your own creative work so that you're fulfilled in ways other than just your partnership, so you're not putting all that burden on your partner. And also, if your partner's not that, you know, right there with you at the moment, that it doesn't devastate you because you've got your own stuff that you're interested in. And then the ninth rule is to stay present. If you're present, you will know how to respond to life in the most loving way. Your heart is open. You can see things more clearly. We get into trouble when we're vaulting ourselves into the future. Well, if he doesn't stop doing this, and you know, what's my life going to look like 20 years from now? Just stay present. This is how I'm feeling now. This is what's arising now. And respond from that place, and the relationship will do really well. And the tenth and the last thing is to be grateful. You know, when you're grateful, you remind yourself of all the good things that your partner has brought into the relationship. Because sometimes we just take it for granted and we forget. And I just think if we stop and say, oh, gosh, I'm so grateful for the way my partner, you know, puts fresh flowers on the table every week, or I'm so grateful how he supports me in my work. And it's just reminding ourselves the blessing that we have in this other person. And sometimes it'll come easily, and sometimes we have to look for something if we're in the middle of, you know, a tough spot. But it really keeps you on a positive track.
Yeah, and it's so true because, you know, so many times we don't, you know, take the time, you know, to list, you know, all the great things about a relationship. You know, we'll go on and on about all of the things that are wrong. But, you know, it's not often enough that we take the time to kind of take inventory of all of the good and wonderful things that go on in our relationship.
Exactly. And where you put your energy, that's where your life goes. So you put your attention on what's wrong, and that's where the energy feeds what's wrong. You put your attention on what's working, what's good, what you're grateful for, your energy feeds that stuff, and it's almost like it's a fertilizer for more good stuff to happen.
Yeah, you know, Kathy, our listeners are so lucky to have you share your insight with them, and as you know, on Wedding Podcast Network, predominantly our listeners are couples who are planning their weddings, and they're just embarking on this next phase of their life and their relationship. What is one bit of advice that you would like to share with our listeners who are just embarking on this wonderful relationship of marriage? What is some of your best advice that you could give a couple who's just starting out and just going to be married?
My best advice would be to know that this relationship is a gift that was brought to you by your soul in order for your soul to grow, expand, and become brighter, more refined. And so the purpose of being together is not just to create a pretty picture for each other, but the purpose of your being together is to grow on all levels of body, mind, and spirit. And when you look at it that way, you see the bigger picture. You see the deeper meaning of marriage, that it's not, again, it's not just about the pretty picture, but it's about something so much bigger. It's about growing in your soul. And that is a magnificent gift that you found someone to go through that journey with.
That is unbelievable advice. Kathy, thank you so much for being with us today. Kathy Freston, the book is called The One, Discovering the Secrets of Soulmate Love. I highly recommend it. You can come to our website, weddingpodcastnetwork.com. We will have a link to Kathy in our show notes, how to get in contact with her, how to get her books. Really, really fabulous read. I highly recommend it. Whether you're getting married or not, or already married, or thinking about it, or in a relationship, go out and get this book. Feedback. We love to hear from you. Questions, comments, suggestions. You can send us an email. Our email address is feedback@thewpn.com. That's feedback@thewpn.com. Or you can always call our listener hotline, which is 800-882-1259, and you can leave us a voicemail there, and maybe we'll play that on the air in a future show. You've been listening to The Lovecast, only available on Wedding Podcast Network. I'm Robert Allen, and we'll see you next time.